Well, I'm enjoying the series that started the 1st of October, and as I shared with you then, on Wednesday night, the teaching kind of parallels Sunday morning, though it's not really in the sequence of that series. I'm trying to keep Sunday kind of in a sequence together. And so tonight, with that in mind, I want to step back into framing your future with your mouth. And tonight we're going to look at an occasion in the life of a man in the New Testament. I was thinking earlier, back not long after I was baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire, it was such a life-changing moment for me. But in that season, I was still pastoring at the Baptist church where I was at that time, and we were living in the parsonage. And I remember one day, God had just been doing so many spectacular things in my life and in the life of our family. And you'll have to understand the context of those days, moving from reading about what God used to do in the Scripture to stepping into seeing God do it in the now. It's quite exciting. I mean, I recommend it. It's awesome. And we were just getting blessed every which way we turned in the middle of tremendous warfare spiritually. It's like we were thrown in the deep end of learning spiritual warfare. But simultaneously, God was just blessing our socks off as well. And I remember sitting in our living room in the parsonage, just up there by myself, and just thanking the Lord. And out of nowhere, which was really somewhere, the presence of God just came into the room and came upon me. And I began to weep uncontrollably. But it was a joyful weeping, if that makes sense. Just God was, the blessing was so deep, it was so beautiful, it was so powerful, and I wept till I could weep no more, probably 40 minutes to an hour, just weeping uncontrollably. It was beautiful, and it was powerful, and it was such a moment of God encountering my life. You have moments, most of you, I'm certain, where God met with you in a way that marked you or branded you, and it became a memorial in your life where it became a fixed point in time, a moment where heaven broke through and you and God experienced a union that it's inexplicable. You wouldn't take anything for it, and you can't just make it happen again by your own will. For God to break in, break upon, and fill you and bless you in that way. Tonight, I want to talk about a moment in the life of Simeon. I'm calling it Simeon's moment. And the photo I have up there actually is a picture of a lithograph. I have that at home. I have an artist proof of this. It's a painting by Ron Deciani. He's a well-known Christian artist. And back in the early 1990s and through the decade of the 90s, I just found myself collecting Christian art. And there were certain artists, and some of them were quite valuable, and a lot of my collection is hanging in the church now. You'll see some of those, and some of those are artist proofs. But this is Simeon's moment that he captured in a piece of art. And Simeon's story is found in what we call the birth narratives. In Luke chapter 2, Jesus has been born. And let's just step into this story, because what I want us to see is I want us to see how God works in time to bring forth prophetic words that have been given to us. We're going to see this in the life of Simeon. We're going to see some of the components or aspects that are involved in properly stewarding the words that God gives us. Seven aspects of a prophetic word is what I'm titling tonight's message. So what I want to do is I want to read the scriptures. I'm going to read verses 21 through 35 and then come back and go through these seven things, hopefully fairly quickly. Luke 2, 21, and I'm reading in the New King James Version. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification, referencing Mary, when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Verse 24, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, the Messiah, if you will. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. Verse 26. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. What a powerful passage of Scripture. We're not told a whole lot about Simeon. Now, we can do a little holy speculation. It may be probable that he was a priest because he was able to go in the temple and they were there to carry out the custom of the law, and he took Jesus in his arms. We don't know that dogmatically, but he could have been a priest. There's some extra biblical information that some people share about him, that he was a well-known person in the community. But if we wanted to stay straight on biblical tonight, we're told that he's a devout man, a just man, and we see him operating in the realm of the Spirit, receiving revelation from God and releasing revelation from God. There's a lot in this passage that I want to shape this teaching around concerning the seven aspects of a prophetic word. This is a powerful story. This is a powerful, powerful moment in the life of Simeon. Now, we won't get into it, but after this, a prophetess, a woman by the name of Anna, also has a powerful word. But tonight, we're looking at Simeon. Okay? So, let's just step right into this. Because of time, let me share the first one with you. The first thing I want you to notice is the receiving and embracing of the word. We are told here that in verse 26, it says that it had been revealed to him, that is to Simeon, by the Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. That word revealed is not the word we would see like the revelation, apokalypto, but it's the Greek word chrematizo. And let me share a little information about this word because it's really cool. The Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, and this is one of the ones that we used in the seminary I attended, it says, this is a verb that expresses in the most comprehensive way the communication of God's will. The word signifies not merely the reception of a divine message, but also the actual giving of it by God. So it's a powerful word. It's most commonly used in the New Testament to refer to the communication of God's will to human beings or to a human individual. So we are told here that Simeon had been given this revelation from God himself. And that revelation was, you're not going to leave this earth until you see the Lord's Christ. Now, all of Israel was looking for the Messiah. Their idea of what he would look like when he came was different than the way he looked when he came. Their idea of the pomp and circumstance that would surround his birth was certainly different than what actually occurred. Their idea was what would maybe be a mighty general who would ride in on a horse, trample underfoot the Romans, reestablish the monarchy of Israel as King David had and Solomon after him. That's the idea they had in their mind. That's the binoculars they were looking through. That's what the Messiah is going to look like. But yet, he was born in Nowheresville, in a little town called Bethlehem. We're 6 weeks out from Christmas, but we're studying about it tonight. And he, in an obscure place, an obscure village, a teenage mother probably, she's probably in her late teens, and a scandalous rumor surrounding the birth. All of this, that's not what they were looking for. But that's exactly the way God did it. But there was a man that God had told, you're going to see him. You will know who he is. Now, that's amazing. So we see that Simeon, we've already read the whole story. We know what's happened. He received that word. He embraced it. Because we see him acting on it. More about that in a moment. You know, sometimes when we get a word from the Lord, there's a lot of warfare surrounding that usually looks and sounds something like this. You know, we're excited when it comes, and then maybe the next day or an hour later, I wonder if that was really him. You know? Or, you know, that's a little out there. That's a big thing. And look at who I am. I mean, why would God say something like that to me? That's the warfare. Though Simeon, he was a just and devout man, and he had spent enough time worshiping his God that he understood when the Lord was speaking to him. He took it very seriously, took it to heart. We do not know how long this man had been harboring this word in his heart. Now, people assume, well, he was an older man, you know, just hanging on, just waiting for the Messiah. We're not told that. He may have been in his 30s. Now, the fact that he was a just and devout man, and he was actually going to the temple, he was probably at least 30, I would think. But we don't know his age. And we don't know how long he had been holding on to this word. It could have been years. We do not know. What we do know, God had spoken to him. He had not forgot it. And he was ready, willing, and aiming to act on it. And that's exactly what he did. So this word that's used to reveal, again, it's a heavyweight when it comes to revelation. And you remember, I've shared with you a few times, on the Sunday since October 1st. And I taught on this back in 2003, 2004 a whole lot. The stirring spirit and the spoken word. And what we see here is a man that moves by the Spirit. You know what he said? He went by the Spirit to the temple. So this is a man that understood what it was like to feel the witness of the Holy Spirit's presence. The hovering of the Holy Spirit. The promptings of the Holy Spirit. The awareness of the Holy Spirit moving. He was aware of the Holy Spirit's moving because he began moving when the Holy Spirit started moving. But God's Spirit, we see, is moving here upon him. God's Word had already been spoken to him. And again, when you see those two things begin to move together, that's kind of like two witnesses, if you will, the Word and the Spirit come together. That's when the dynamic, powerful, creative things begin to happen. That's when powerful, prophetic things can happen. That's when signs, wonders, miracles can happen. That's when breakthrough answers to prayer can come forth. And so we see that same principle operating once again here in the life of Simeon. And there's different levels of revelation. I mean, there's dimensions of revelation. Lost people can receive revelation from God. There's a lot of examples in Scripture. Namely, one, a man named Saul of Tarsus, who's headed to lock up and kill Christians. And he's struck by a light from heaven, hears a voice from heaven. While he's lost, God reveals himself to him. Now, he gets saved in the process. As a matter of fact, if you're here tonight and you're a believer, the same thing happened to you. When you were lost without Christ, bound in trespasses and sins, the Word of God you heard in some way, you read it, you heard it, you were confronted by it, your heart opened. God was witnessing to you, giving you revelation. I'm real. This is true. You need me. Repent. So some people say, well, God would never speak to lost people. Well, how are you going to get saved? You know, don't build those little bitty boxes and try to stuff God in them. He won't stay in it. Okay? So even lost people can receive revelation. And then once you're born again, a new dimension of revelation. How do we know? John 3. You know, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. There is a revelatory dimension that opens up over your life when you're born again. Because the natural man can't receive the things of Spirit of God. But if you're born again, now you've been made alive spiritually. And so you have access to receive communication from God. There's a new dimension of the revelatory realm when you get born again. But then as you grow in the Lord and you learn to be obedient and you get in the Word and you begin to learn God's Word, you begin to discern God's ways, you begin to discern the moving of His Spirit like Simeon does here, then that positions you for another dimension of revelation. And that's when you begin to learn about spiritual gifts and they can flow in your life. That's when you begin to learn how to use the Word of God. And when you get in the Word, it begins opening up and God begins to show you things. The Word it's got spiritual life in it and you've got spiritual life in you. So those two things come together and good things happen. So Simeon is a man receiving and embracing the Word of the Lord. I got to move on. The second thing I want you to notice is the timing of the Word. Now, when God speaks to you, we love it when God speaks and we think, all right, I got my Word, and 5 seconds later, we're going to see it come forth. And sometimes that happens, and it's usually quite miraculous when it does. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. But a lot of times, that's not the way it is. You hide that Word in your heart. Just like you hide God's Word in your heart that you might not sin against God, you also hide God's words in your heart that you can be obedient to God by discerning His timing. And Simeon was given a word that was connected to timing. Before you die, you're going to see the Lord's Christ. So as long as his heart was beating, that word kept him alive, right? I mean, really. Think of it. He's not going to die till he sees the Messiah. That's a word from the Lord. Now, neither are we told how long he lived after this. Again, he could have been much younger than we realize. He may have lived for years and years. But he had the promise. And it would, by, you know, again, holy speculation, you would tend to think he was probably older. And he was looking for the Christ. He knew he would see him before he died. So the timing of the Lord. Jesus had been circumcised on the eighth day. That could have happened in Bethlehem. The purification of Mary, that would have been 40 days in. She would have to go to the temple and present herself. And this is a little insight here. The law of Moses meant that they would have to offer a lamb as a sacrifice. If they could not afford a lamb, then two turtle doves or two pigeons. And so they couldn't afford the lamb because here they are offering the two turtle doves and two pigeons. So Jesus wasn't born into a wealthy family. His dad was pretty well off. But Joseph and Mary, no, poor family. The offering was the poor folks' offering. That's who were. But this was the Messiah, King of Israel. Not just King of Israel, King of Kings. This very scripture shows us he's the King of all nations. So, the timing, all of this timing, the word that was given to Simeon, we don't know how long he had been harboring that word, but the birth of Jesus, the 8 days, the 40 days. But while all of that's unfolding, Joseph and Mary are on the way to the temple. Somehow and somewhere, Simeon was going about his business and the Holy Spirit began to move within him or upon him, quickening him. We're not given a description, though we would all love to have a big long paragraph where he just described just how it came and how he felt and what he was doing. You know, don't you love that kind of stuff? Because you want to learn, you want to be able to discern that too. But he was somewhere doing something when he was quickened by the Holy Spirit. And we don't know what it was. He may have gotten up from lunch. He may have unhooked his oxen. Who knows? But when that happened, he starts for the temple. And he intersects with Joseph and Mary, who have with them baby Jesus. Neither are we told when he goes in the temple and when they come forward with the child, neither are we told how he was told that was him. I imagine there was some babies coming in and out almost every day. Probably several. But we're not told how he knew, except it was by the Spirit. And again, that shows us how important it is for us to learn to discern the witness of the Holy Spirit within us. It's kind of like the country preacher in a young preacher came to him and said, you know, how do you explain the unction of the Holy Spirit, the prompting, the anointing, how do you explain that? He said, unction. Let me see. Unction. It's kind of hard to explain, isn't it? He said, unction. I tell you what, I can't really explain it, but you can tell when a fella ain't got it. It's kind of, it is inexplicable. But it's also undeniable that the Holy Spirit can alert you within, move within you, though it's hard to explain. There is such a peace. There is such an inner knowing. Sometimes there's a sense of urgency. Sometimes the urgency's not there. It's just this great peace, like God's just right now about to do something. He's just right now about to do something. But it's even deeper than that, because it involved him leaving where he was and going to the specific place. It involved not only leaving where he was and going to the specific place, but once having got there, to be able to scan the folks and know the specific child. And to have enough certainty to then prophesy, this is Israel's Messiah. That's pretty powerful stuff. Pretty heavy duty, moving in the Spirit. But you are made that way. You know, that's the way we know we're saved. The Bible says His Spirit will bear witness with our spirit. How do you know you're saved? Well, I know I'm saved because I did what God said to do. Well, but how you know He did? Well, I just know I'm saved. The burden rolled away. I have a joy I didn't have. I have a peace I didn't have. The guilt's gone. The stuff, it's gone. The darkness is gone. Light has come. You can put a lot of different metaphors on it, but you know. So we need to learn the knowing of the Holy Spirit. And I want to throw this in quickly. That's one reason there's so much warfare over you having assurance of your salvation. The enemy wants to keep you tangled up and busy every day of your life that you will let him, trying to wonder whether or not you're even in the family. Because if he can keep you in that place of he loves me not, I'm just not sure, I'm not sure, I'm not sure, I'm not sure. You need to be sure so that you can then begin to take steps and let God use you to lead somebody else to come to know Jesus, or to use you to share a word with somebody or lay hands on somebody, start making a difference in the world. Get off the treadmill of whether or not you're saved. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. His Spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. You can know that you're saved. John said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know you're saved. And once you know you're saved, then that same assurance will be there as the Holy Spirit leads you. You can have assurances. And I'm not saying that we don't ever miss it. Most of us do. I would encourage you to leave room for the fact that you may miss it. Stay humble with it. Because that's part of it. He's sure. And so you can be sure He's sure. Just learn to lean in that and trust Him. And there's just a knowing. The timing of the Word, He knew. It is now. This is for now. You see this a lot of time in Scripture. Philip, who was in Samaria, miracles were happening in the middle of revival. Holy Spirit spoke to him. Go out into the wilderness. He goes out. And there's a man headed toward Ethiopia in a chariot. Timing. Boom. And he leads that man to the Lord. Then he carries to the gospel to a new continent. That's the timing. And we can miss it. And God's gracious. Sometimes we may have to round the block again. You know, like the guy that prayed for the place at the donut shop. And sure enough, the seventh time around there, that parking place was, you know. So, God's merciful. Number three, the prophetic releasing of the Word. Now, he received the Word. He's sensitive to the timing. He moves by the Spirit. Then there comes the point, okay, here's the child. He's got to release what he carries. Now, we don't know if the Lord had given him this prophetic Word over the course of time, and he was carrying it, just ready to pull the trigger, or that he just knew that he was to see the Christ. And once he saw him, then within him, the Word began to bubble forth. We don't know, but we do know he prophesied. He released the Word. He began to bless God. He began to praise God. And then he got into the prophetic. So this is the prophetic releasing of the Word, verses 28 through 32. If you are keeping references, that's where we see this. He took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, notice said, Lord, you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. That's a timing thing for him now. Now I can go on. I can go on to be with the Lord whenever. Mission accomplished. I's dotted, T's crossed. I've seen the Lord's Christ. But it says he began to bless God. When that word bless is used like in this type of context, it's always speaking about a verbalization, something you're saying. We're talking about framing your future with your mouth. He's releasing words that has impacted all of our futures. How powerful they are. So he begins to prophesy. He says, verse 30, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Now he's just blessing the Lord. He's still blessing the Lord. Which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. So that's beautiful. He's now releasing what he's carrying that God has given him. And then I've got to move on. The preparation of the word. I want to talk a moment about this because that's part of the word that he gave. Let me read that scripture again. He said, "With my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples." All peoples. Not just Jewish people, all people. But also the idea, just how long had God been preparing this? The word that Simeon carried about the coming of the Messiah, how long had God been preparing for the coming of the Messiah? I'll remind you that Jesus, John 1:29, Jesus is the Lamb of God, slain from how long back? From the foundation of the world. That's how long God had been preparing it. All the way to the foundation. And Adam, when God created Adam, even before God did all of that, He already was preparing. He wasn't shocked when Adam and Eve fell into sin. He had already been preparing the plan of restoration. Adam's son, Seth, became the progenitor of the race of Adam that would lead to Noah, who would be the one whose family was saved during the flood, that set things up for the call of Abraham, who became the father of the nation of Israel, whose sons Isaac and Jacob, and Jacob's 12 sons, who became the 12 tribes of Israel. God was preparing all of that. He called a man to build a nation. He built a nation from which He would bring forth a Messiah. He gave that nation kings like David and promised that king, the Messiah will also come through your lineage, David, all the way to Joseph and Mary, whose lineage traced through David, all the way back to Abraham, all the way back to Noah, all the way back to Adam, all the way back to in the beginning God created. Before that, Jesus, the Messiah, was scheduled to come to planet Earth. Yeah, that's the preparation of the Word. And when you think about God doing that, Sunday, I preached on Jeremiah 1. But before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Think about how long God has been setting up and preparing things for your life. When you got saved, Ephesians 2:10, for you are created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God foreordained that you should walk in them. He foreordained that. He planned it ahead of time for you. For you. And often when God releases a prophetic word for us, one that's to us but also for us, it has to do with our future. It has to do with preparing us for what He has for us. And then there's times He'll speak something prophetically through us for someone else or others. Through some people He may speak to regions, to nations, and so forth. God That word, when He sends it forth, there's a lot that's gone into that. And when He sends it forth, well, we'll see that too, won't we, in a moment. What happened? The personal fulfillment of the word, I just wanted to, just briefly, right here. I read it a moment ago. He says, "For my eyes have seen your salvation," verse 29. "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word." That's Simeon basically saying, this word now has been fulfilled in my life. I've been waiting on this word. Now I can depart in peace. Also think about how this word affected Joseph and Mary. I mean, the Lord, there's clusters of words they were getting. God was releasing around the birth of Christ. It is amazing the supernatural, miraculous activity that takes place around the birth of Jesus Christ. Joseph having dreams where angels come to him in his dream. He's warned to move to a different nation. He's warned that Herod's after his son to kill him. The virgin birth is no small miracle either in and of itself. The angels appear to shepherds. They give the shepherd's message. The shepherds come bringing that message into Bethlehem. On and on. Wise men come from the east within the first 2 years of Christ's birth. They follow the star. God even cosmically speaks to these men who come and worship Him. It's like, it's interesting how people from different nations come and recognize Him as their King. It's interesting here that Simeon is given a prophetic word standing in the temple in Jerusalem, ground zero for the nation of Israel, announcing God's done this in the face of all peoples to be a light to the Gentiles and the glory of Israel. Glory of Israel because she is the nation who bore the Christ child and brought the Christ into the world. That's her glory. And many rejected Him. But the idea of Gentiles getting saved wasn't a tack on. It wasn't an add-on. It wasn't like when you buy something online, you get an upsell and get an add-on package. No, it was part of the whole plan the whole time. Because God started with giving man dominion over all the nations. Then He had to pick out one nation that He would bring the Messiah through. And He would bring the Messiah through that nation who would turn around then and make the offer to all the nations. And when you get to Revelation chapter 7, and Israel, please know my heart, I love Israel, and we all need to continue to pray, particularly right now. And God's got wonderful things, even great things ahead for Israel. But Israel's purpose was to release the light to the nations. Even when God called Abraham, the promise of the Messiah was given him. Through your seed, the whole world will be blessed. An international promise. So the personal fulfillment of this word, I mean, this is so powerful. This fulfills so many prophecies in the Old Testament as well. I've read that there is as many as 500 prophecies that Jesus fulfilled when He came to earth. Pretty amazing. So let's take a moment and just talk about the interpretation and purpose of the word. I just covered that basically. God was doing this in the open, in the face of all peoples. A light unto the Gentiles. Salvation for Gentiles. Salvation for Israel. That's the purpose of the Messiah coming. Not to establish a kingdom that would rule militarily and would exert human might and power through horses and chariots. No, but along the line of what Zechariah had in mind, not by horses, not by chariots, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. You see, this is a spiritual restoration of the human heart and human life that will ultimately culminate in the salvation, renovation, and restoration of all things that we've been studying about, big picture. A return to Eden, if you will. a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem coming down. No more curse, no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more pain, and so forth. That's a pretty good deal, folks. So that's the whole purpose that God was moving through Israel to establish His kingdom rule in the hearts of all people. And it would be this child that Simeon held in his hand. Can you imagine this man that was holy and devout, who had some prophetic understanding of this moment, Simeon's moment, that he held the hope of all nations in his arms? What that must have been like. The fulfillment of that. The sense of purpose, to have been honored to be the man who would hold him in his arms and declare, while he's holding him, this child I'm holding is a light to the Gentiles, the salvation of the Gentiles, the salvation, the glory of Israel. And then to look at the child's mother, you're going to be pierced through like by a sword. And she was. Think about how she felt at the cross as she saw her son hanging there. You mamas can feel for that. If your child was run all everywhere he went around the country, somebody was trying to kill him. Somebody was saying nasty stuff about him. Somebody was trying to set him up every time he turned a corner. She had to live with all that. But she also got to live with seeing him raise people from the dead and healing the blind and seeing the lame walk and seeing him turn the water into wine. And she bore witness to the judgment that he brought on people that saw all of this and still turned away and denied him and refused him and rejected him. Last thing, the power and prosperity of the Word. You see, this Word that Simeon spoke, the revelation it contained, it has as much power right now as it did the moment he uttered it. The message of the Gospel, He's still the light to the Gentiles. He's still the glory of Israel. You wait and see. They will look upon whom they have pierced. He's building one new man through the olive branch. We've been grafted in. And he says in Isaiah 55, he watches over his word to perform it. It will accomplish the reason for which it sends it forth. It will prosper. And so, every time you meet someone who's been saved, you can go, and the wonderful thing, you can go just about anywhere in the world now, and you're going to find somebody that knows Jesus. Now, there's still entire people groups who have never heard the name Jesus. I know that's hard to believe, but it's true. But pretty much all the nations of the world have some believers in it. A light to the Gentiles. And you can go to Israel, where they're still waiting on their Messiah to come, though He's already come. But nested in, as we would say in the South, amongst them, are Messianic Jewish believers who have come to the realization that Jesus is their Messiah. And many, 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 I believe there will be a great end time harvest of Jewish people right before Jesus returns in these last days. So, we've looked at receiving and embracing a word, how timing relates to the word, the releasing of a prophetic word. He's right place, right time, with the right people who need to hear it. He releases it in the temple of God. When in fact, that baby, the bosom of that baby, John said it this way, we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He said, the Word became flesh and He dwelt among us, literally tabernacled among us. Here is Jesus, who was God in a human suit, inside the building that was supposed to be the dwelling place of God. That was all shifting and changing in those moments. As that little boy began to grow up and began to manifest who he really was. And he became known. He died, was buried, and raised from the dead. And back in that same temple area, That's where they were gathered when the Holy Spirit came down. And the building of the temple surrounding it, but into the people. And then when they left the temple, that's where the Spirit of God now would dwell. Not behind the veil any longer. It had been rent. That presence wasn't there. It came and filled the people that would gather there on the day of Pentecost. And now He lives in you. Now, we collectively, brothers and sisters, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God has chosen to dwell in and through our lives. And we're learning, we're better learning how to manifest who He is, His person, His presence, and His power to a world who needs to hear about Him just like they did when Simeon uttered this wonderful revelation after the very first Christmas morning. Lord, thank You for this story. Thank You for these truths. Thank You for the power of Your Word. Thank You for moments when Your Word comes and everything changes. Help us, Lord, to be quickened and awakened to the fact that we are living in an age now where, as the body of Christ, we are a prophetic people. We decree and declare our sons and daughters, they prophesy. We are a people who have visions and dreams. We decree and declare, Father, that You still speak. And what You are speaking will always line up with what You have spoken. Because You have in these last days spoken to us through Your Son, Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. And You continue to speak through Him. He is the center of all things. He is the center of the foundation of all spiritual truth. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is the life, light, and power that holds all the galaxies together. We declare the name of Jesus in this house tonight and from our temple. Say it with me. Jesus. 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 Lord, we declare the name of Jesus from the temple of the Holy Spirit tonight. Jesus, You are the light to the Gentiles. You are the glory of Israel. Thank You, Father. May You make Jesus, we as Your people, to always manifest Jesus in ways that exalt Him, glorify Him, and lift Him up. Because You said when we do that, You through Your Spirit would be working, drawing people to Him. Thank You. Thank You for the power, the attractive, drawing power of our Messiah, the Lord Jesus. Perhaps you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, or you may be listening to this at a later time or even now through live stream. I encourage you to give your life to Christ. Call upon Him to save you. And when He does, His Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. I pray if you have a spiritual need tonight and the Holy Spirit's dealing with you about something, I encourage you to step into that. Be obedient. As we begin to stand, we're going to have some prayer team members who are going to be in the altar area. Those of you who are scheduled to do so, would you come and be here tonight and be available to pray for people who may have need of prayer. Whatever your need may be, I encourage you to come. Thank You that You're the God of salvation. Thank You that You're the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. As we read that Matthew 3:11 passage, it could be someone's here and you've confessed Christ, but you've never gone down into the watery grave of baptism, identifying with Him. You need to do that. Come and make that decision. I want to be baptized, and we'll get you on the list and notify you. We'll be having another baptism service soon. Whatever your need may be spiritually, if the Holy Spirit's prompting you to receive prayer, ministry, just come on up. And I pray that the Lord blesses you the remainder of this week. I pray that He graces you to do your will. And I pray that you would will to do His will. That you would choose what He chooses for you. That there would be a yes in your heart to whatever demand or request He would make of you. I pray that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray the fruit of His Holy Spirit would manifest from your life, that people, when they see you coming, they would know, I'm about to be loved. I'm about to be around joy. I'm about to be around peace and so forth. I pray in the name of Jesus that He would pour His healing oil into the cracks and crevices of the brokenness in your life, those unhealed areas, that He would just bring healing and wholeness, that you would become strong where you were weak. That you would become wise where you were foolish. I pray in the name of Jesus that His angels would surround you about. That divine aid would be provided for you as you take steps of obedience. And I pray that you would be willing to take radical steps of obedience. That as Simeon was moved by the Spirit to intersect his life with a God encounter, that you would have that level of sensitivity. I pray it for myself as well. Oh, Father God, tonight as we lift our hands to you, use us. We surrender. We offer ourselves as sacrifices, willing vessels, Lord. Fill us up anew and afresh tonight. Send us forth to do your will. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Now go forth. Change the world. This altar is open and available to you if you need prayer tonight. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Sunday morning, 8:30, 10 a.m. Pray for someone that you can invite to come with you and invite them to do so.